Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And John, today we're going to talk all about school gardens.
Right.
Hot topic of the year. Weather starts warming up. Teachers and
everybody
kids want to go.
Bug.
They get the bug. They want to go outside and do some planting and beautify their campus. And then we have Earth Day coming in about a month from now. So people are jazzed. They're excited. They're probably learning stuff on their science curriculum about plant science and want to incorporate that in there. And I know that we've had a lot of conversations on this, and you have a lot of experience as well working with school gardens. And I think it's important for maybe to have a realistic conversation. I appreciate when people are passionate about something, and I want them to be successful, but I also think we have to keep in mind the realistic expectations of gardening and what that takes, especially on campus and with children.
Right. And it always boils down to kind of starting out small, because a lot of times people want to plant this and this and this and this, and pretty soon they got a 20 by 40 garden.
Right.
And you got two people taking care of it. and you really have to think it out and plan it out as to what you're going to grow, what season. Is it going to be cool season, warm season? If it's a school garden, are the plants going to harvest in time for the kids to see the end of the project? Or are they only going to start it and, they'll finish up somewhere maybe during the summer when they aren't even there?
Right, exactly. And then there's not going to be anyone to take care of them once school is out for the summertime. So, yeah, I think, planning your garden around the academic calendar is probably the best way to go. And I think a lot of times, school teachers and administrators that kind of go out there and for us, maybe simple things to look for, but they haven't really thought about that. And for me, it's always the direct sunlight. If they're going to grow vegetables, they need at least 6 to 8 hours of direct sunlight. It also needs to be in an area that's visible for everybody at school, because the old adage of out of sight, out of mind always comes into play. And then just a basic water source. You don't have to necessarily have an elaborate irrigation system, but you at least have to have...
You like it near the garden.
You want it near the garden. And even just a hose spigot to be able to take your garden hose and water your plants.
Right. And water is critical in this climate because the soil dries out so quick and you just have to keep it replenished. So it is important to have a good irrigation system and, have your water source nearby.
Right. No, definitely. And I think also it's additional to look at is, people don't necessarily have to plant edible crops
right.
in their garden. And I think the kids, there's a lot of different activities. We have a junior master gardener curriculum, for example, is all aligned to the teaching standards. You can certainly get that and, pull that into your lesson plans. And it doesn't have to necessarily be an edible crop. Sometimes things as far as planting a perennial pollinator garden
right.
will add some green space to your campus, and it's not as intense as right. vegetable gardening.
Right. Now, there's a lot of ways that people can go, but again, you need to think it out and plot it out. Cut flowers. There's people that grow a lot of, flowers in a school garden or community garden, and they're used for cut flowers. So they cut them and, either sell them at a farmer's market or pass them around the office, brighten up an office with them. So there's different ways, but, the commitment is really the most important thing. If it's a school garden, teacher, principal, everybody has to be aboard, because if the teacher moves, then does the project continue or does it stop because of that teacher's enthusiasm?
Well, we need
to have the principal involved and all that, so everybody's behind this program.
Exactly. And even, we visited gardens before and say, I've been here 3 years ago. What happened? Teacher moved on or principal got transferred. And it seems to be always starting from scratch. And that's, the biggest issue, to be able to look at being successful. And success can be measured by a lot of measuring sticks.
Yeah.
Is it just one season? If you want to grow something edible, you can certainly be in and out of the garden by planting something like radishes. 30 days from seed to harvest. Carrots do really well in the fall. 70 days on average.
Right.
And then your students are able to taste the vegetables. If you're looking for more of a perennial garden or a pollinator garden, or in some cases, a lot of private schools will have prayer gardens as well. And they have rose bushes there. Right. A rain gauge, and you add, you know, different things and different elements to that, and it's an outdoor teaching space. So there's a lot to learn from that. It's just a matter of what
always a good plant, you know, that's utilized a lot here, comes from a Mediterranean climate, is rosemary. And rosemary is an herb, a nice ornamental flower. It's evergreen, so you got, you know, a lot of aspects there. Brings in bees, which are, you know, and probably other pollinators in there, but does bring a lot of bees in. But beautiful little blue flowers on it and nice dark green color to it. And, you know, I'd say pretty indestructible. You know, overwatering, you can kill a lot of things overwatering. But, but otherwise, it comes from a Mediterranean climate. So super cold winters here, you can get some damage on them. Back in 2011, there was quite a bit of damage on rosemary as well as other plants. But it's it really is a great plant. It's kind of been around so much, you call it a common plant, but it's just a superstar, really hangs in there.
Right, exactly. It's going to be a good long-term permanent fixture into your garden. And I know that the bees love that. And it also, if you take little sprigs and you cut those off, you can take them inside your kitchen seal or just put it in, freshen up the area, and you can use it for, you know, culinary purposes as well. And I think that's why we chose rosemary this week to be our plant of the week.
Correct. It's just a good, tough plant that's been in El Paso for, you know, many, many years, and just a great plant. We do have spreading, you know, kind of more ground cover type rosemaries, and we have upright type rosemaries, so you have a mix. Again, just a great smelling plant, grows real well.
Wonderful. So, you know, think about that as far as teachers that want to kind of build in their school gardens. If anyone is interested in school gardens, we do have some volunteers that are master gardener consultants out at community schools. And I think it's really important for folks to remember that master gardeners are there. They're an extension of extension. Essentially, they're going to be your garden consultant. You get stuck on a technical question, and they're able to there to answer and help direct any kind of questions that you may have. But master gardeners are not free labor. They're not going to build or maintain the garden. And I think that's a common misconception that we have every year. They're a great group of folks. A lot of them are retired educators, so they understand those pressures that school teachers have, especially with upcoming standardized testing. So they're realistic in those aspects. They are a service to our community, but there's, you know, verily, you know, hard and fast rules that we do have to follow when it comes to building these gardens.
Right. I remember I worked with a lady elementary school teacher over on the east side of El Paso that was teacher of the year in the school district, and she had this vegetable garden that was growing in the patio area of the school, and she got permission from the principal to expand that garden out, so she put in for a grant and got money to build a greenhouse. And built a greenhouse and started growing the plants there, and then she had a very successful garden. Had the kids, you know, harvesting. They were selling some of the produce, and they had cut flowers. They were selling the flowers, and then they were keeping track. They had a little entrepreneurial part of it, and the kids were selling stuff, and you learn a little bit about business, and and so it was quite interesting. And then she left, and the program disappeared, so to speak. Again, it's that commitment. And then during the summer when it's 100 degrees, you know, you say, oh, the custodian will take care of it.
Yeah, that's not
Well, he's got to take care of the building.
Yeah, that's
and
not
so,
gonna happen.
So it doesn't happen. So got to think those things out. But, you know, a lot of raised bed, you can buy kits. You know, and build your own raised bed, but the commitment is keeping that garden going. You know, they always say the best garden, you know, the gardener leaves a shadow in his garden, so he
He's
checks the garden all the time, make sure there aren't insects eating things up.
Exactly.
Keeping it watered, and you'll be successful.
All that, all important. We had a great success also with a cylinder garden activity as well. And those, you know, you can just buy or recycle a 5-gallon container, essentially fill that up with garden soil, very inexpensive. And then what you're able to do is grow, you know, a few seasons using that same pail. Of course, it's going to, the plastic's going to break down being in the sun for so long. But it's a kind of a great way because it's a smaller unit. And then that way, there's, you can, you know, assign a pair of children, you know, to be able to work together on a certain container, bunch those all up together. They're easy to water. And the biggest thing for that is that there's no, you know, brick and mortar attached to that. And a lot of times that's where we have that pushback from, you know, principals. They don't want to see anything permanent in the garden, or what if this and what if that. So anything that's portable, containers that you can use, for me, it's always been, how do you just connect the dots?
Right.
And, you know, it just connecting the dots so that the kids can see the crop through that one season, and then you'll be done. And, you know, just build on that. And, you know, educators, you're professionals. You know, take all that back into the classroom.
I've seen people paint those white buckets, you know, and kind of gives them a little more UV protection, especially if you're using, you know, cracked paint. It'll help cut down on the UV causing the plastic to dehydrate and break on you.
Right, exactly. And then also you can also add a decorative element to that
make
too.
Make it uniform, do it in school colors.
Right. So speaking of having a native plant garden and a pollinator garden, there are some upcoming events where you're able to get some appropriate plants for your school garden. And that's the FloraFest, the native plant sale here at the UTEP campus.
Yes, we have everybody kind of waits in anticipation of the plant sale. And as we follow, you know, along, we usually do it towards the end of April. So this year it is April 29th and 30th. It's 9 to 4 o'clock both days. And we will have native and desert adapted plants for sale. You know, 1 gallons, 5 gallons, 15 gallons. And we'll have trees, shrubs, ground covers, you know, so good pick, plus some, you know, perennial flowers and stuff. So there is a lot to pick from. Now, there'll be a good selection of plants, and the proceeds from the sale go to help making the garden better and maintaining the garden. So purchase is kind of like a donation. It is put to use here in the garden here locally, and we keep trying to expand and, you know, replace stuff and put new stuff in. So it's kind of a constant thing.
Well, we really encourage folks to get out there and garden in whatever group that you're part of. And if you're interested in having a school garden, we have a lot of online resources to help you get started. Once you get to that point, then we'll be more than happy to get together with you and see where you're at for your garden and get a master gardener consultant, depending on the stage of your project and where you're at. But we are out of time for today's show. And if you do have any questions on school gardening or any of those resources that we have available, please call the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. You can also visit them on their website at txmg.org/El Paso. Master Gardeners are always here to help you. We sure appreciate their help. We also want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.